Welcome back, everybody. This is For the Numbers, presented by FTNFantasy.com. My name is Adam here on Thursday, November the 14th, 2024, as we get set for week 11. It's a huge week. Obviously, a lot of teams trying to make that playoff push. I believe this is the final week of before the trade deadline for a lot of leagues out there as well. And then week 12, man, like, I don't know about you. I don't pay attention to bye weeks when I do my draft every summer. Week 12, I'm in trouble. I mean, you got the Bills on bye, the Jets on bye, the Bengals on bye, a lot of teams on bye. So let's get you a win here in week 11. This is the game-by-game preview episode of the podcast. Kicking things off here on Thursday Night Football, Eagles and Commanders. We'll break that game down in a second, but first, FTNFantasy.com has everything. All of the content, tools, rankings, projections, data. You have the Advanced Stats Hub. All that great stuff. And basketball's here. And we're doing a ton of stuff with NBA data as well, which I'm excited about. We have you covered. Check out FTNFantasy.com, not just for football, but for everything you might need. And of course, check out the podcasts across the FTN media. You have this podcast. You have The Rant with Jeff Ratcliffe. You have the Dynasty Podcast with Jeremy Popolars. So much to look to each week to help you, not just in one set type of fantasy football, but all types of formats as well. All right, let's get started. Huge, fun game in the NFC East to kick off the week. It's the Commanders at the Eagles. Brian Robinson Jr. will play. He's missed some time. So I had a bunch of stats written down about what Eckler had been doing in those games. Three games without Brian Robinson this season, Eckler averaging about 14 touches, 66% of snaps, and 15.4 PPR points per game. I do think Robinson will be limited in some capacity because every time he's come back from this injury, he has been limited. So not the greatest of matchups, but I do think Eckler is still going to get probably like 10 to 13, 14 touches probably. So he's still a viable flex, but obviously takes a hit. Brian Robinson, probably a low-end running back too. Eagles defense has been really good, right? Like, I think they're definitely clearly improved with some of the young players making so many plays for them, but also they've faced, other than the Bengals, some really bad offenses during the stretch. But for what it's worth, since week six, the Eagles, first in yards per attempt allowed at 5.0. First in overall success rate in the pass at 34.9%, second in EPA per dropback, first in yards per out run allowed, and second in sack rate. Now, to be fair, they've played the Giants and Cleveland and the Cowboys with Cooper Rush. The Bengals was really the only test, but they're just playing better, clearly. They're playing man coverage at a top five rate during that span. Quinion Mitchell's been awesome. Cooper DeJean's been awesome. They're young players are just making a ton of plays right now, and they're playing well. Having said that, I'm still, Terry McLaurin's still a top 15 must-start wide receiver. He has been amazing. Absolutely amazing. Since week three, McLaurin, second in the NFL with 672 receiving yards, third with six receiving touchdowns, fifth in yards per target at 12.4, first with four 100-yard games, six in fantasy points per game, and first in end zone targets. I also mentioned the Eagles playing a ton of man coverage. McLaurin is six in fantasy points per target against man coverage this season. He also is top five among all wide receivers in routes against man coverage. Jaden Daniels, really frustrating game if you had him on your team last week because he didn't play his best game by any means, but he also got hit with some serious touchdown variance with the rushing touchdowns that the Commanders got from in close. This week, they're going to need him. The Eagles offense is playing well. When you're facing a team that deploys so much man coverage, that does leave them vulnerable to scrambles because the defensive backs have their backs turned, and all of a sudden, Jaden Daniels can be running for 15-plus yards. So, still a must-start top five quarterback for me. Better days ahead. And outside of that, like, Zach Ertz is like a low-ceiling, okay floor tight end. Revenge game, if you care about that. And I guess Noah Brown, in deeper leagues, he's been quietly getting like 6 to 7 targets each week. For the Eagles, obviously, are starting everybody. Jalen Hurts, since week six, 28 fantasy points per game, most among quarterbacks. He has the second most goal line carries in the all of football during that span as well. So obviously you're starting him. You're starting A.J. Brown, especially with Marshon Lattimore, still not quite ready to make his debut for Washington. Saquon Barkley, must-start player. And Devonta Smith's I was hoping we'd see a little bit more consistency from him in this offense with Kellen Moore. It looked like that was going to be the case early in the season, but it just still comes down to the fact that when this team has Dallas Goedert and A.J. Brown healthy, Devonta Smith's going to have some really good weeks where he's going to have 6 for 120 and a touchdown, and then some games where he has, you know, 3 for 35. But unless you're really loaded at wide receiver, it's hard to bench somebody with that type of upside on a week-to-week basis. From the NFC East to the AFC North, this is a huge game as well. Baltimore at Pittsburgh. Now, how about Russell Wilson? 3 more touchdown passes last week. Since week 7, Russ is 5th in the NFL in terms of percent of passes 20-plus air yards at 17.6%, 3rd in average depth of target, 1st in intended air yards per pass attempt, 6th in the entire NFL in end zone passes during that span with 13 end zone passes, and keep in mind, he missed a game due to the bye week during that stretch. 15.2% of his total passes have been into the end zone, and he's a QB 11 in fantasy points per game, again, since week 7. He's been awesome. And this matchup's awesome. Ravens, massive pass funnel. They're allowing the second most fantasy points per game to quarterbacks, a league-high 23 completions of 20-plus air yards, 6 touchdowns of 20-plus air yards, and the most air yards per game at 336.4. I think Russ is a top 12 quarterback pretty easily this week. I like him a lot. I like how he's playing. Mike Williams will play more, so that'll help him. Matchup's just awesome. George Pickens also been awesome since Russell Wilson's been the quarterback. He went for over 90 yards and a touchdown last week. He faces a defense that allows the most receiving yards off go routes this season. Pickens, 4th in the NFL in targets off go routes on the year. And Brandon Stevens, who we'll see a lot of coverage against probably, we'll see how much Tre'Davious White plays in his first game, but Brandon Stevens is allowing 16.7 air yards per target. That's the second most in the NFL. Great spot for Pickens. Mike Williams, I probably wouldn't trust yet just because like he only ran 6 pass routes last week, but he had a 32-yard touchdown. He's going to fit this offense much better with Russell Wilson and the way he likes to throw the ball down the field. So maybe like Mike Williams as a value play in DFS is really interesting. Season long, I just don't know what the playing time looks like yet. So it makes it really risky, but the matchup's awesome. And then we have to keep an eye on the backfield. Jalen Warren had a season-high 16 touches last week, and Harris left for a couple plays with an ankle, and it ended up resulting in the two running backs essentially splitting the snaps. Harris didn't practice on Wednesday. We'll see what happens. Brutal matchup. The Ravens have been the second-best team in terms of total rushing yards allowed to opposing backfields behind only the Chiefs. But if Harris is out, Jalen Warren becomes a top 24 running back pretty easily. For the Ravens, you're starting everybody, right? We know that. Lamar, Derrick Henry, Zay Flowers, disappointing game, but he still has a 27% target share against single high coverages, which the Steelers deploy a ton. Mark Andrews, start him. And Deontay Johnson is expected to play more, but you can't start him with any confidence. Jacksonville at the Detroit Lions up next. Mac Jones will start at quarterback once again for the Jaguars. Trevor Lawrence, he might not come back this season. And the passing attack was pretty gross last week. Tight ends accounted for 62% of the targets for Mac Jones. Evan Engram led the way with 8 targets. He has like a 30% target share since returning. So I'm definitely starting him. Hoping Mac Jones can throw for like at least 200 yards this time around. Brian Thomas is, you know, he was a borderline must-start receiver with Trevor Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence was inconsistent, but he was attacking the field vertically a lot. And Mac Jones wasn't doing that, and when he did, it was ugly. So Brian Thomas still has upside, but he becomes way more volatile. Probably more of like a high-end wide receiver 3 for me now with Mac Jones at quarterback. And Tank Bigsby has been dealing with this ankle for a lot of the season. He aggravated it last week, left for a little bit, and then came back in the game but didn't really play much in the second half. So Etienne ended up playing 68% of the snaps. It was his most or his high snap share in a game since week 5. Now, if Bigsby plays, I expect it to be like a 55-45 type of situation. And if the game gets out of hand and the Lions are ahead, then that's where we see D'Ernest Johnson. But I wouldn't expect a lot of efficiency against the Lions' run defense anyway. They just held Joe Mixon to 46 yards on 25 carries. So you would need ETN probably to get there in the passing game. He is a really unappealing flex play if Bigsby plays, but a little bit more exciting at least based off volume and overall opportunities if Bigsby ends up missing this game. For the Lions, Jared Goff coming off 5 interceptions. That's brutal. I don't expect it to happen this game back at home, where he's obviously been much better over the past couple seasons. Jacksonville allowing the 3rd most fantasy points per game to opposing quarterbacks this season. Amon-Ra keeps scoring. His yardage totals have not been impressive, but he keeps scoring. He's obviously a must-start player. Both running backs are must-start players. And we'll have to keep an eye on Sam Laporta. He's listed as day-to-day. Maybe you feel better about Jameson Williams getting, 6-7 targets. Obviously, ceiling is there. Man coverage, heavy team. So if he can get, playing press man coverage against Jameson Williams, if he gets that release, you're in trouble. Moving on to Cleveland at the Saints. I mean, lead running backs continue to just absolutely dismantle the New Orleans Saints. Since week 3, opposing top running backs are averaging over 20 fantasy points per game against New Orleans. I mean, we just saw it last week with Bijan Robinson. It's every week. It started all the way back in week 3 with Saquon, and it just hasn't slowed down. I mean, I'll read off exactly what these running backs have done lately. And again, this is just lead running backs. So you look at it, Saquon Barkley, 17 for 147 and 2 touchdowns, RB1. Bijan was the RB26 after that, so not a great game. But then Kareem Hunt, 27 for 102 yards and a score, the RB5. Bucky Irving, 14 for 81 and a touchdown, the RB12. And Sean Tucker was a top 5 running back on the week that game as well. Javonte Williams, 14 for 88 and 2 touchdowns, he was the running back 5. J.K. Dobbins, 17 carries, 57 yards, a touchdown, the RB14. Chuba Hubbard, 15 for 72 and 2 touchdowns, the RB10. And then last week, Bijan finished as the overall RB1 in fantasy with 116 yards and a pair of touchdowns. They've been terrible. So, yeah, could this be the breakout game from Nick Chubb, who he only played 35% of the snaps before the team's bye, but the Browns were trailing quite a bit in that game. Saints also allowing 2.6 yards before contact per attempt, the most in the NFL, and a 46% rushing success rate, which is the 3rd highest mark in the NFL. 1.2 rushing touchdowns per game. Great spot for Chubb. We'll see Jameis continue to start at quarterback. Since he's taken over, over 40% of his passes have been into tight windows with an 8 out of 11. So he's been aggressive like always, which is great. It's great for the game environment for fantasy, it's great for the receivers, it's great for Cedric Tillman, who remains an upside wide receiver 3. Since week 7, he's averaging 10.7 targets, 7 catches, 85 yards, and 21 fantasy points per game, tied for the most end zone targets in that span with 5, and 3rd in air yards per game at 134.3. And of course, the Saints no longer with Marshawn Lattimore, so the secondary not quite as good. And then Judy, Elijah Moore, decent floor players. The Browns have also had an uptick in passing rate since Jameis has been the quarterback. So I would rank the receivers from Cleveland: Tillman, Judy, Elijah Moore. And Njoku is a top 10 tight end. And then for the Saints, I mean, the Saints are pretty easy, right? It's Alvin Kamara getting all the usage he's going to get. Obviously starting him. Browns run defense also not the same without Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah. So something to keep an eye on there. But then it's like Taysom Hill. Last 3 weeks, he's played about 45% of snaps, averaging about 7 opportunities per game. Also had an 80-plus yard touchdown called back last week. But I mean, with the usage he's seeing, getting targets now because the receivers are depleted, getting his 4, 5, 6 carries per game, maybe he can occasionally throw a pass, and we know they can use him at the goal line. He's probably at worst a top 15 tight end the rest of the way. Finally, like Marquez Valdes-Scantling with the huge game. I personally wouldn't want to chase it, but the Browns do play a ton of single high, so if there's a spot for him to get behind the defense again, could very well be this one. Minnesota at Tennessee up next. How about Calvin Ridley? As somebody that's been starting Calvin Ridley in my most important league the past couple weeks, I was definitely nervous when we saw Will Levis was back, but 5 for 84 and 2 touchdowns with Levis last week against, on paper, the best defense in the NFL in the Chargers. And I mean, he's just been a volume machine. Titans had their bye in week 5, talked about having to get him the ball more. First game back, week 6. Since then, Ridley's averaging 9.8 targets, 67 receiving yards, and 14 PPR points per game. Overall target share of 32.2% during that span. Only CeeDee Lamb and Ja'Marr Chase have more total targets during that span. And he has a 37% first read target share since week 6. Just elite usage. They're using him in more creative ways, not just these vertical go routes on the sideline like he was using in Jacksonville last season. He also has a 30% target share against the blitz. And we know the Vikings top 3 in blitz rate on the season. So, yeah, I mean, if Levis can just not, like, poop his pants in this game with the all the disguises and blitzes and looks that Brian Flores will give him, Ridley should get, especially if they're trailing, 8 to 12 targets. And receivers have done good against the Vikings. It's just, can the quarterback get them the ball consistently? We also saw Tajay Spears return last week. He played 25 snaps to Pollard's 29. It is worth pointing out that Pollard left for a little bit, getting checked out. He did return. And of course, like, we did see Spears return to getting, you know, the third down usage, the 2-minute usage. He played also a lot in the fourth quarter because the Titans were behind. But he also, again, he played most of the snaps on third down. So Pollard, still the running back to start. Really tough matchup against the Vikings. I'm tempering expectations, but you know, he's probably going to get 15 to 18 opportunities. And that's it for the Titans. Like, that's all you're starting. For the Vikings, Justin Jefferson was shocked that he had such a down game against Jacksonville. But when Sam Darnold plays that poorly and the team only scores 12 points somehow, that'll happen. Obviously still starting him. TJ Hockenson, great usage from him. The snaps weren't great. Like, it only went up to 46% in his second game back, but the route participation went up. He ran a route on 64% of dropbacks, had 8 for 72 on 9 targets, back to being a top 6 tight end. Jordan Addison, a boom-bust wide receiver 3. And Aaron Jones dealing with his rib issue. Sounds like he's going to play. He did return last week. So we'll just keep an eye on it, but I fully expect Jones to play. He's been disappointing lately, but the volume's still been awesome. All right, with that, we'll take our first break of the program. When we come back, breaking down the rest of the games from Week 11, we go to Miami. We go to the Jets. Can anything go right for the Jets? Anything at all? They have a good matchup at home to maybe bounce back after a disastrous performance in Week 10 against the Cardinals, but can they do it? Can this offense give us something? We'll find out about that and more when we come back. The Raiders travel to Miami to take on the Dolphins. Gardner Minshew will remain the starting quarterback for the Raiders. We don't have to worry about him. We're not starting him. But we have been starting Jacoby Myers, and I think we should continue to start Jacoby Myers. I mean, he's been just super, super reliable without Davante Adams this season, averaging 9.3 targets, 6.3 receptions, 69.5 receiving yards, and just under 15 fantasy points per game. His target share is in those four games, 34%, 26%, 41.6%, and 25%. That gives him an overall target share in those games on average of 31.7%. He's playing out wide a lot more. Like, he went from a slot guy to like 65% of the time he's playing out wide. The Dolphins have been pretty good against receivers for what it's worth. Ramsey's having a really nice season. But I'll take my 8 to 10 targets each week. I mean, this is such a concentrated offense. It's try to run the football, but, you know, throw the ball to Brock Bowers, who's a must-start tight end, and Jacoby Myers the rest of the way. I don't want to start the running backs, though. Like, they still seem to want to get Zamir White at least more involved, but you can't start any of these guys with confidence. And then for Miami, it's pretty easy. Devon Achane, the yardage and everything wasn't great last week, but he's still getting so much involvement in the passing game. He's now averaging 7 targets, 6.6 catches, 24 PPR points per game alongside Tua Tagovailoa this season. Raiders, not good against the run. Seventh most fantasy points per game allowed to running backs. They're also allowing a 45.7% rushing success rate on outside zone runs, the fourth highest in the NFL. And we know that's what Mike McDaniel wants to do with Devon Achane. It is worth pointing out that Raheem Mostert had a couple long receptions last week, but he had zero carries. And if you remember back to the Bills game, he had a pretty costly third quarter fumble in that game. Dolphins were winning. He fumbled. Bills go down and score and don't look back. He only has one carry since that third quarter fumble. Like, Jalen Wright was getting work in place of him in the third and fourth quarter of that Bills game, and then was getting more carries over him against the Rams last week. So that makes Raheem Mostert really, really risky to me, because it's not just like it was one game where he, one second half of a game where he fumbled and then they kind of went away from him. It's, he got zero carries last week. So that's definitely concerning. Tyreek Hill, I mean, the yardage has been crap, but he scored last week. He's dealing with this wrist issue that's probably going to continue to bother him the rest of the season. So, yeah, man, like, Tyreek Hill is not a top five receiver right now in fantasy. Like, he shouldn't be viewed as that. Probably not even top 10. Like, he's only had the one good game with Tua. This wrist could bother him at any point, and it could really mess things up. Matchup's good. Like, I'm still starting Tyreek Hill if I have him, unless I'm just loaded at receiver. But, like, he isn't and shouldn't be viewed as this, like, easy top 10 receiver like he has been for the last however many years. The same can obviously be said for Jalen Waddle, who looked like he was going to have a good game for once. And I guess 50, 60 yards for Jalen Waddle is good. But he had, like, two long catches in the opening drive of the game and did nothing else. So, I've talked about it. It's just frustrating because Jalen Waddle is the, is he the fourth option some weeks in this passing game behind Hill, Achane, and Jonnu Smith, who's quietly been pretty productive? I think Jonnu Smith's in that, like, tight end 12, 13 range. Like, his numbers are pretty much identical to Jonnu Smith's on the season. So, and again, the problem I always have with Jalen Waddle, and it comes back to this, we know Tyreek Hill gets the scheme touches and the pre-snap motion touches, which are so valuable. And Jonnu Smith gets the screen stuff and the scheme screen targets because he's so good after the catch. So, and then obviously Achane's getting dump offs and screens and carries. So it's like, where does that put Jalen Waddle? Just still extremely boom bust wide receiver 3. All right, let's talk about the Jets. At home against the Colts, where the Jets in practice are apparently working on tackling. Professional football team. It's a good week to practice because you're about to face Jonathan Taylor, who, since returning from his high ankle sprain 3 weeks ago, has played 79% of snaps, has handled 80.6% of the carries, and 50.4% of the touches. He's averaging 20 touches per game in that span. Jets allowing 2.7 yards after contact per attempt and 72 missed tackles, the fourth most in football. So, good spot for Taylor, who was crushing the Bills in the first half of them. The game script got out of hand and the Bills knew they had to throw the football. So, but yeah, Anthony Richardson, he will start at quarterback. The Colts don't know what they're doing. I'm glad they're going back to Richardson because why wouldn't you? I'd still be a bit hesitant to start him just because, like, he had that huge game in week one where he was the quarterback 4 with 27 fantasy points. But other than that, he hasn't finished higher than QB 21 in a game. The Jets defense was absolutely putrid last week against Arizona, but the pass defense is still the strength of this unit. Richardson still has just not been good this year. There's a reason they benched him. But of course, we know there's clearly still untapped upside there. We know we can run for 60 yards and a touchdown. He has 23.3% of his passes, 20 plus air yards. That's the highest rate in the NFL. The question is, like, what does this do for the receivers? Because Michael Pittman missed last week with the back. Apparently, he practiced in full on Wednesday. I don't know why he's still playing. He should just not be playing. He's not healthy at all, and it's impacting his performance. But with him out last week, A.D. Mitchell played 94% of the snaps and ran a route on 94% of dropbacks. But if Pittman's back, that would make A.D. Mitchell somebody you can't trust. Alec Pierce got the touchdown, and Alec Pierce fits well with what Anthony Richardson wants to do. But Pittman being back would hurt him, and the Jets on paper should be good against perimeter wide receivers. And then there's Josh Downs, who since last season is averaging just 6 targets, 3.9 catches, 51 yards, and under 11 fantasy points per game with Richardson at quarterback. And you have the fact that Richardson's 6.5% checkdown rate is the second lowest in the NFL, whereas Joe Flacco is at 16.7%, the fifth highest rate in the NFL, which hurts Jonathan Taylor's receiving. But then you have the fact that Richardson's presence at quarterback with his ability to run the football opens things up in the running lanes for Jonathan Taylor. So it's just so many different moving pieces. Simply put, though, if Pittman plays, he and Downs are wide receiver threes with lower floors. Downs definitely takes a hit. But I'm still keeping an eye on Pierce and Mitchell because, like, I just think there's a world where we see Pittman get shut down at some point. I just feel like we should be there. He's just not healthy. For the Jets, yeah, last week was brutal. And the frustrating thing with the Jets, too, is Breece Hall's playing well lately. He really is. But game script's been weird. He's not getting goal line carries. He's not scoring, obviously. Good matchup here, though. 13.8% of the runs against the Colts have gained 10-plus yards. Seventh highest rate in football. Problem is, Breece Hall hasn't had 20 touches in a game since week 6. 14, I believe it was last week. Like, can we get him 20 to 22 touches against a run defense that's not good, back at home, and the receiving's obviously not been great with Davante Adams there, but Breece Hall still top 10 running back. I'm still expecting, his rest of the season schedule is still really good too, so I still wouldn't mind trading for him before your deadline if you can. But man, it's been frustrating because he's played well. It's just the opportunities haven't been as high as we expected. Davante Adams, he is fourth in the NFL in red zone targets since joining the Jets. That sounds about right. They hit 13 targets last week and caught like half of them. It was just like Rodgers was trying to make a point, I guess. Garrett Wilson, bad game, but he's still been pretty good since Adams has been there. Also has a 27% target share against cover 3, which the Colts run over 30% of the time. I'm starting Wilson. If Adams is there, he's a low-end wide receiver 2 with touchdown upside because of how many times Rodgers is looking his way in the end zone. All right, we will keep moving on. Rams at Patriots up next. Really rough game from Kyren Williams last Monday, but still dominating the snaps, lost a fumble. Would have had a receiving touchdown on this angle route right out of the backfield. He was open. Stafford missed him. A rare bad game from Kyren. Patriots run defense not good. So still must start player. Kupp, Puka, both must start players. Pretty easy team. Stafford's, you know, in that QB 15 to 18 range. You know, I don't think we're going to see 7-8 sacks or whatever it was for the Patriots like they did against Caleb Williams. And for the Patriots, Stevenson's the only player that's like a borderline must-start. The volume's been better. He keeps scoring touchdowns. Drake May's playing well and just giving this offense a little bit more life and upside. Other than that, though, like DeMario Douglas is okay. Hunter Henry, he's okay. Rams defense have been playing a lot better as of late, too. And Drake May himself, he's giving you some rushing each week. He's probably a high-end quarterback, too. I mean, we obviously have some guys on bye weeks this week. But he's been pretty damn good. But that game's pretty easy. That was one of the games where I didn't have a lot of notes for just because like it's relatively easy. And I also don't want to be here for an hour and change. Last game of the 1 o'clock window, Green Bay at Chicago. Packers coming off the bye. I mean, Bears have still been more of a run funnel defense, but their pass defense has slowed down a little bit as of late. Jordan Love, a top 10 quarterback, is starting him. Josh Jacobs, he's been playing well leading up to the bye, finally getting some more touchdowns. You're starting him. Jaden Reed, starting him. And then good luck with the rest of the receivers. Watson's been getting more looks prior to the bye. Still would easily rank Romeo Dobbs as the second option in this offense. Then between Watson and Wicks, it's a toss-up. Tucker Kraft is probably like a low-end tight end 1, high-end tight end 2. He's kind of consistently getting like 6 targets, which is enough, and he scores a lot, so... He also gets a lot of these screens and makes plays after the catch, so I like Tucker Kraft. And the Bears, I mean, DeAndre Swift's a must-start player. If you benched everybody else, obviously you probably weren't starting Rome or Keenan Allen, but DJ Moore has been unplayable lately. This team can't throw the ball down the field. We'll see what happens with Shane Waldron gone, but Thomas Brown's there, and he wants to run the football. That's been his MO and the stops he's had. So I expect more of an emphasis on DeAndre Swift, and between the offensive line, Caleb's play, what we might not know what to see from the offense. I don't want no piece of this passing game. Plus, the Green Bay defense has been awesome. And they're at home, I think. Actually, this game might be in Chicago. But still, I just want... DJ Moore is a risky wide receiver 3. I'm not starting anybody else other than Swift. On to the 4 o'clock window. We start with Atlanta at the Denver Broncos. Bijan Robinson. This is what we wanted to see. 20-plus PPR fantasy points in 5 straight games from Bijan Robinson. He's been awesome. You're starting him. Drake London. This is an interesting spot. You're not benching him, but this, if there's any spot where you temper expectations for a defensive back matchup, it's this. I mean, Pat Surtain is the best in the business. He has shadowed 6 times this season. The average percent of routes shadowed for in those games is at 68.6%. In those routes in shadow coverage, Pat Surtain facing George Pickens, Mike Evans, Garrett Wilson, a lot of DK Metcalf, a lot of really good receivers, has allowed a total of 11 catches for 100 scoreless yards. And he's allowing 0.13 fantasy points per coverage snap. He's been elite. Drake London still a borderline must-start. No, he's a must-start player. It's just you lower him in the rankings and you temper expectations. The one thing I will say is, though, like, if for whatever reason you had to choose between Darnell Mooney and Drake London this week, I'd probably start Mooney. 16th in the NFL in yards per out run against the blitz this season. Also a 31% target share against the blitz. That's the third highest rate in all football. The Broncos top 5 in blitz rate. Yeah, man. Mooney's been awesome, obviously. He's getting a lot of those deep targets. He also has a 28.5% target share against cover 1. And the Broncos play cover 1 just over 30% of the time. They play a lot of man coverage, as we know. So I love Mooney in this spot. Obviously, London, maybe you lowered the expectations, but you still start him, and you start Bijan. For the Broncos, Courtland Sutton's been playing better after that goose egg a couple weeks ago. He's a low-end 2, high-end wide receiver 3. Bo Nix, also like on that QB1, QB2 borderline, he's been pretty consistent. He played well against the Chiefs last week. He can give you 35 to 40 rushing yards a lot of these weeks. And then the backfield. Like, is Audric Estime really the new running back 1 in Denver? Like, Sean Payton's been hinting towards getting him more work for a couple weeks now. And then it finally happened last week. Estime played a season-high 45% of snaps and had a season-high 14 carries. All of the short yardage snaps went to him. Javonte Williams, meanwhile, just a 29% target share and 1 carry. I am, like, obviously, Estime should be and should have been one of the most added players in fantasy leagues. I am definitely not saying he's a must-start player by any means, because we've seen Peyton talk highly of Javonte Williams and Jaleel McLaughlin and now Estime. And this could easily be 3 running backs. I mean, we've seen Jaleel McLaughlin take Javonte Williams off the field at the goal line many times this season. But in my rankings, it definitely goes Estime, Williams, McLaughlin. So more of a must-add player and wait and see, unless you just have no choice and you hope he can score a touchdown or do something on, I don't know, 10 to 12 carries with upside for more if he just fully runs away with the job. All right, game of the week. At least for me it is. But you knew that already. Chiefs at Bills, Mahomes, Josh Allen, here we go. Can't wait. Chiefs getting close to being healthy. Isaiah Pacheco practicing, but he won't return just yet, which means Kareem Hunt, who leads the entire NFL in touches per game since week 5 with 24.6 and 13 goal line carries in that span, most in the NFL. He'll continue to get a ton of work against a vulnerable Bills run defense, allowing the 3rd most yards before contact per attempt and the 4th highest explosive run rate. So continue to absolutely start Kareem Hunt. Continue to start Travis Kelce, who has a 30% target share, I believe it is. Against cover two, since DeAndre Hopkins joined the team, the Bills play a ton of cover two. Hopkins, meanwhile, has been targeted on 23% of his routes since joining the Chiefs. He's playing a little more outside than I would have thought, and that'll continue if Juju Smith-Schuster is back, which it sounds like he will be. The Bills have been pretty good against perimeter wide receivers, so Hopkins, probably a low-end wide receiver two for me. Mahomes is definitely the production for fantasy has been better lately. He's probably a low-end quarterback one. Bills' defense has been great. They're at home, but you know, I think with this offense getting healthier and getting more of the weapons back, Mahomes, he's been playing better. The matchups have been better too, but Mahomes is fine. For the Bills, you're starting Josh Allen, who you do worry a little bit about the receivers. Keon Coleman's out. Amari Cooper's still limited with the wrist. Probably not going to see Dalton Kincaid for this game. But with those guys out last week, Josh ran more. He finally had like 50 rushing yards in a game. Historically, against this Chiefs defense and Spags, he's run a lot. Makes sense. They play a lot of man coverage. So I expect Josh Allen to go back to like 45, 50 rushing yards again in this one, with a chance, obviously, to score a rushing touchdown, but you're starting him each week. I think Cooper's probably going to be back, and they lose Kincaid, but yeah, you're starting Josh Allen. Tough spot for James Cook. I'm definitely tempering expectations. I'm not benching him, but Chiefs, just insane against the run. Best run defense in the NFL. They're allowing 52.6 rushing yards per game to opposing backfields, just entire backfields. That's it. Best in the NFL. They've been awesome. James Cook's been awesome too. And the one thing I will say is that the passing game usage has been super inconsistent. But I remember when they played last year in the regular season, they drew up a lot of scheme stuff to get James Cook one-on-one against linebackers. He had a receiving touchdown in that game. So wouldn't surprise me, especially if Kincaid's out and we already know Keon's out, if we do get four or five catches from Jimbo in this one. We'll have to keep an eye on Cooper. I'll revisit that, but Khalil Shakir is a really good play. Chiefs allowing the second most targets and fantasy points per game to the slot, so I like that for Khalil Shakir and Dawson Knox. I mean, if Kincaid's out, I mean, Dawson Knox played over 75% of snaps once Kincaid left last week, and the Chiefs are allowing the second most fantasy points, second most targets, and the most catches per game to opposing tight ends, so love that. If Cooper plays, I don't think he'll be limited in terms of snaps. And you have to think, like, he's pretty much got to be fully acclimated with the playbook by now. So he would be a high-end wide receiver three for me, probably. Still a little bit of risk. Chiefs have been better against perimeter wide receivers. But, we'll see. I don't think Kincaid plays. If I had to guess, we get no Kincaid, we get Cooper, and we obviously know Keon is already out. Seattle at San Fran up next. Christian McCaffrey, welcome back. There was talks about how he wouldn't be limited really in this game. I was still even surprised that he played as much as he did. First game back, McCaffrey plays 87% of the snaps, had 19 of the 21 running back touches, and he played every single snap in the two-minute drill and on third down. Now we get Seattle, who are allowing the second most rushing yards and ninth most fantasy points per game to opposing backfield. So, yep, welcome back. Love it. Elsewhere, Juwan Jennings led the way with 11 targets last week in his first game back from the hip. He's got such a good rapport with Brock Purdy, especially on these third down conversions and stuff like that. He's honestly a borderline must-start wide receiver for me. I like him. Debo, you're obviously starting. He's been great against this defense in Seattle. Over the past three games, he's averaging 110 receiving yards and just over 25 fantasy points per game. Kittle's not practicing, but he should be back on Thursday while you're listening to this. So if he's good to go, he's starting in your lineup. And Brock Purdy, he's just having a good season, but it's just been weird because his intended air yards per pass attempt at 8.9 is a career high. And then his 5.2 yards after the catch per completion is a career low. And you have to always remember in the Shanahan offense, it's been a staple of Yak, but it hasn't been the case. Purdy's been aggressive, throwing the ball 20 plus yards down the field. Seattle's a team that does allow Yak. Interestingly enough, too, I believe the Debo touchdown when these teams played a couple Thursday nights ago was a Yak play. So keep an eye on that. They have been giving up a lot more Yak than they have been the explosive chunk plays 20 plus yards down the field. For Seattle, DK Metcalf practiced in full, so he should be good to go. JSN's been awesome in his absence, but he hasn't been moved out wide. Like, he's getting different usage, but he hasn't just played out wide more. He's still primarily lined up in the slot. Metcalf, go back to starting him as a must-start player, obviously. JSN, a low-end wide receiver 2, probably a low ceiling, unless this is a game where Geno throws 40-plus times. Because in the games Metcalf's been active, like, JSN really hasn't done much unless Geno was throwing 40-plus times. But this is the most pass-heavy offense in the NFL, so there's always an opportunity there. And then, of course, Ken Walker, you're starting him, dominating the carries. Still losing some third down work to Charbonnet, but he's getting a lot more targets on early downs than he ever has, which is great to see from Ken Walker. I believe that's it for the 4 o'clock games. So we'll take one final break, and when we come back, we'll close out the show with the 2 primetime games. Don't go anywhere. We'll close it out when we come back. Sunday Night Football, Chargers at home against the Bengals. Ja'Marr Chase, what kind of on-court performance does he have? Of course, we'll see if T. Higgins plays. It's been long overdue. We would love to get him back. Chase, obviously, must-start receiver. He's been the best receiver in fantasy. Joe Burrow. I know the Chargers, on paper, statistically, the number one defense in the NFL. I think they're good. I also think their schedule's been unbelievably favorable, and that continued last week with the Titans. Chase Brown, must-start player, obviously. The past 2 games, with Zach Moss out, 82% of the snaps for Chase Brown. He's averaging an absurd 27 touches per game. He's been awesome. 9 catches last week. I mean, he could catch 6-7 passes again, especially if T. Higgins is out. I know they brought in Khalil Herbert. He barely played, and when he did go in, he fumbled the ball and almost lost it for them. And then, who did they bring in the other day? They signed somebody, but it wasn't of note, clearly. So, again, I'm not expecting Chase Brown. I'm expecting a game finally at some point, especially if Herbert picks up more of the offense, where like we see like more towards like 18 to 22 touches from Chase Brown and not 27. But yeah, he's a must-start player, obviously. And I know Gesicki didn't get there for us with Higgins out, but he still had like 10 targets, had a couple end zone targets that he couldn't hang on to, had a target like at the 2-yard line that he couldn't hang on to, and Tanner Hudson got the touchdown. Like, if you told me Gesicki was getting 8 to 9 targets from Joe Burrow every week, he'd be a must-start player. So if T. Higgins is out again, I'd be perfectly fine going right back to him. For the Chargers, they went back to that ground-and-pound offense last week. Following their bye, they climbed like a top-6 team in neutral pass rate, but went back to the run. I think Herbert only had like 18 pass attempts last week. Gus Edwards was back, and he had like 10 carries to Dobbins' 15. The goal line carry went to Hassan Haskins, who scored a touchdown. Maybe that was a maybe like a revenge type thing against the Titans. That, because I was shocked. I thought it was like just, I thought it wasn't even real. But that was frustrating if you started Dobbins. I do think it's possible that the days of Dobbins getting, oh, by the way, I knew this. Hassan Haskins, revenge game against the Titans last week, attended the University of Michigan, played for Jim Harbaugh. So there you go. I'm sure that didn't have anything to do with him getting that touchdown. Maybe that's something to keep an eye on, though, going forward for other matchups and other Michigan players. Bengals run defense has been improved lately on a per carry basis and stuff. They're still giving up fantasy points and stuff like that, but Dobbins, okay running back 2, but if Gus is stealing, because before Gus got hurt, Dobbins had completely taken over this backfield. So if he's getting like 8 to 10 carries per game, granted in most scenarios for this team, that could still be enough to where Dobbins still gets 20 with how much they can run the football in certain weeks, but something to keep an eye on for sure. Herbert, I think, is a good play here. Like, he's been so good. Like, there haven't been 5 quarterbacks in the NFL better than Justin Herbert this season. It's just, what games is he going to... There's going to be games where if they only throw 22 times and he doesn't score touchdown, it can happen. This doesn't feel like one of those games where the Bengals should be able to score here. Matchup's good. He's playing well. Quentin Johnson keeps scoring off broken coverage. I don't know how it's happening, but good for him. And Ladd McConkey is a high-end wide receiver 3. I know the production wasn't there last week, but again, only 18 pass attempts. Will Disley, also somebody to keep an eye on. Like, his target per out run rate has been insane this year. So, like, if we get a 30 to 32 pass attempt game from Justin Herbert, Will Disley, like, I'm in a league where I'm probably going to have to replace Dalton Kincaid in a dynasty league. Probably going to start Will Disley, and I'm okay with it. He's been targeted a lot from Justin Herbert when he's out there. Last game of the week, Monday Night Football, Cowboys and Texans. This game's easy. Looks like Nico Collins will be back, so he's a must-start player. Joe Mixon, must-start player. Tank Dell, high-end wide receiver 3. Keep an eye on John Metchie, too. Probably continues to play in the slot for this team after what we saw from him last week. And then Stroud, you feel better about him. Dallas' defense, the pass defense especially, has not been good lately. Stroud's like, he's obviously been much better on a per-game basis with Collins, but he hasn't been great, like, otherworldly this season quite yet. A lot of that's because Bobby Slowick's been bad, the offensive line's been absolutely brutal. And for what it's worth, like, with Micah Parsons back, surprise, Dallas' pass rush looked a lot better against the Eagles last week. I think they got, like, 5 sacks on Jalen Hurts, so Stroud's, like, a low-end quarterback one for me, but, yeah, I mean, having the opportunity and the chance of a 65-yard touchdown to Nico Collins on any snap is huge for him. For Dallas, I mean, it can't be as bad as it was last week, right? Dowdle's a flex. CeeDee Lamb's still a must-start player, but you don't rank him nearly as high as you did. And I would try to avoid Jake Ferguson if you can. Like, I would start, you know, Tucker Kraft, Dawson Knox, Taysom Hill, Jonnu Smith, Gesicki if T. Higgins is out, all these guys over Ferguson. And it sucks, but this offense is just done. There won't be any sunlight in this game, so maybe that'll help. But that'll do it for me here for week 11, breaking down every single game, helping you set those fantasy football lineups. Crucial time. I'm going to try to make some trades in some leagues before the deadline, especially with these bye weeks. I got to get some players on my team that can actually play next week. I have one team that's going to lose Garrett Wilson, Breece Hall, Amari Cooper, Chase Brown, and James Cook to bye week next week. So whoever's facing me in week 12, congrats on your victory. But FTNFantasy.com, check out all the content, rankings updated every single day from some of the best minds in the industry. So much great stuff. Great time to be a sports fan. Great time to sign up at FTNFantasy.com. Best of luck. Thanks for listening. As always, subscribe, rate, review, all that great stuff helps us out quite a bit. Hopefully Thursday starts us off really good. Commanders, Eagles, I'm looking forward to it. Have a good weekend. We'll talk to you guys next time.